It's a privilege to come and share the Word of God tonight and pray the Word would be meaningful to our hearts and our lives and relevant, and I trust it will, and trust we will receive it and act upon it as I truly desire to do also. Message tonight, I want to take our text from Galatians chapter 1. We just turn there, Galatians chapter 1. And I particularly want to focus on verses 6 through to 10. Galatians 1, verses 6 to 10. Let's pray as we come to the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we've already been able to bless your name. We've been able to sing, to praise, to pray. And as a continuation of, Lord, this time in spiritual worship, I pray as we open your word tonight, we might see wonderful things illumined to us, Lord, made real to us tonight by the power of your Spirit. Lord, make this living, for it is a living word. I pray you'd make it living to our hearts and applicable. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the message tonight is a call to discernment. And in the world today, there are many counterfeit gospels, and time would not allow it to try and enumerate them all. Besides, that would be almost pointless, because even as diseases morph into something different, there seems to be different messages that are given by men from the flesh, from the devil, to try and take away the power of the true. And so my aim is not really to point out all the false tonight, but even as perverse minds contrive new inventions, the Bible says man is an inventor of evil things. The flesh is actually an inventor of evil things. I want to look at the truth in the Word and how we can know the true and how we should go against that which is false. You know, Pastor Wayne shares an example which maybe many of us have heard about the counterfeit note. And how do you discern between the false and the true? And we discern, we understand what a counterfeit is by being accustomed to the true. We understand the true. So I heard some examples on that. But last week it happened to me. Last week I was running around a bit and had missed my lunch. So I went through a drive-through and ordered a meal. And as I took out some cash out, which is sometimes the requirement in this world, I took out a 50. And the girl handed it to me from behind the counter. And I grabbed it and I felt weird and I just looked at it. And in about 3 seconds, I gave it back and said, "That's false. That's a fake. It's a counterfeit." She was a bit stunned. She called the manager. The manager picked it up and said a number of cuss words, which I won't repeat, and kind of railed on the girl for receiving it. That's the second one we've received today. And she looked at it. She said, "It doesn't even have a serial number." Now, I picked it up and I could tell just by the feel of it, it's not quite plastic. It's a papery kind of plastic. And the actual discoloration, the colour was a little bit different to the 50s that we receive. And so in about 3 seconds, I went, that's fake. Perhaps it's because a lot of 50s pass through my hands. By that I mean I get them, but they go on. I don't get to hang on to them. I have 8 children, so, you know, just feeding that is quite a challenge in itself. So by virtue of my understanding and my ability to discern, and I didn't even pick up the serial number. That's quite an obvious one. So it's nothing in me, but by virtue of handling so many 50s and moving them on through my hands, I was able to spot that fake in literally 3 seconds. And I wonder today, do we know the living God well? Do we know His Word well? And do we know His Gospel well? Because this attack against the gospel is on so many fronts. We look at the ridiculous and the out there. If I had received a Monopoly 50 over the counter, surely that was laughable and you'd hand it back. But, you know, in terms of the Word of God and in terms of the inventions of the evil one and those who are influenced by the evil one, there's a real challenge. There's a real attack on the gospel. There's a great mixture in this world, and it's from the spirit of this age. And the fight isn't about 50s and things, gold and silver that perishes, but it's for eternal souls. It's for the lives of men who, if they are given a false gospel and they are not saved by it, and they have a false assurance and a false hope, they are damned. They are damned before a holy God. They have not received the truth, and they're not saved. And as Pastor shared this morning, there's this idea of no absolutes. There's this great inclusiveness in society today that, you know, all things go, and there's not really black or white. Everything's grey. Men call evil good and good evil. And there's multiple roads to Christ, they would say. The spirit of this age says there are multiple ways to Christ. All roads lead to Rome, surely, they say. But no, there is only one. And in Galatia, Paul is contending primarily against this gospel of works. Let's have a look at Galatians 1, 6 to 10. So the emphasis of the book is upon this gospel of works, but in our text tonight, it also includes any other gospel. So I want to focus on that. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel, Paul says, that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Let's look at verses 6 and 7. Paul marvels that the ones who had received the gospel are now turning their minds and their hearts to a different gospel. They're giving attention to those who are trying to pervert them. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:18 and the text preceding, it speaks of the gospel as being foolishness and nonsense to the natural man. And Paul in that text is saying that the worldly wisdom of the wise is destroyed. You'll notice by man's inventions, he adds to the gospel. He makes it confusing. And yet the gospel can be understood and received by a child. And so the foolishness, the wisdom of the world is turned to foolishness. But no wonder there are other gospels, because when God looked down upon man, what does he see? And what did he see? He saw, number one, that the inclination of men's heart was toward evil continually. He saw that men are set on mischief. And as I said before, that men are inventors of evil things. So look at that concoction. If the flesh and the inclination of men is toward evil continually, and that men are set on mischief and men are inventors of evil things, it's no wonder then that the gospel was perverted then and is still being perverted today for different reasons, but primarily for man's gain. And so many more descriptions are given in the scriptures of man in his unregenerate state. But these that are coming in to pervert, they are not some backsliding Christian who was once saved. These are wolves. And we're going to look at that. Wolves who are entering among the flock and preaching a different gospel, a different gospel. They don't know Christ. They're unregenerate. They're unsaved. And because of that, there's a multiplicity of false gospels. And these gospels cannot save you. There's only the one, the true gospel. Jude gives this warning in Jude chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Notice the word once for all. There is no other gospel. It was delivered once and for all. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, they don't know Christ, who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Men have crept in unawares. They are marked out for condemnation. But Jude's saying, I am diligent to write to you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the only true gospel that was delivered. Consider that exhortation. We are literally to contend, that is to fight, to literally struggle, to make this our life's work, to preach Christ. It's not just the preacher and pastor's job to do this. It's every child of God's to contend, that the saints would contend in earnest for the true gospel. Because you're going to face a multiplicity of gospels out there, and they are all false if they do not name Christ as he is named in the scriptures. If we or any angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So Paul marveled that the people of God could turn away so soon to a different gospel. And perversion was behind it. An undermining. They deny the Lord that brought them. 2 Peter 2:1 says also that false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. There are false teachers. There are false messages. This is near to our heart. We may say, well, praise God, I'm in a Bible-believing church and we hear the word of truth. Yes, and I praise God for that. But this is all in our circle of Christianity. Things you will face in your family. Things you will face in your circle of friendship. Things you'll face in your workplace or place of education. There will be a multiplicity of gospels. And there are false teachers who bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Master, the Lord, who bought them, who saved them with a price, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So they are perverse. They are perverting the gospel of Christ. John says of them in 1 John 2:9, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But it seems years later that many who have gone out of this early church have made a return and they've made inroads into Christianity, perverting that which is true. They are back and they've heaped to themselves, men have heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. So Paul here, he marvels and he calls this a perversion. Number two, it's very serious. Another gospel is not like just a counterfeit note that if you accept, you may not be able to reclaim its value. The seriousness of another gospel is damning to both the preacher and the hearer. It's damning. Verse 8 and 9 says, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, let us be accursed. As we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you've received, let him be accursed. Friends, this is serious. This is life and death. That's why James says in James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. It is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to preach the word of truth. Remember those whom the Lord rebuked so earnestly. Woe to you lawyers, he said in Luke 11:52. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've taken away the essence. If there's another gospel preached, you take away the key of salvation. You take away the very thing which saves. And Jesus, that's why his most scathing rebukes were for those who were preventing the people from entering into the kingdom. You did not enter in yourselves, Jesus said. And those who were entering in, you hindered. Woe to you if you cause one of these little ones to fall, to stumble, to be offended. It's better that a millstone be tied around your neck and you be cast into the sea than for one of these to be offended. And I believe Jesus means that in the sense of the trueness of the gospel. The scathing rebukes were for those teachers of the law who were themselves not entering but preventing others. This is beyond serious. This is beyond serious. This is life and death, and we need a right vision of the only true and saving gospel. We need to know the true. You know, verses 8 and 9 reemphasize the same point. And you may know this in Jewish literature, that instead of an exclamation mark, if something is repeated, it's emphasized. It's the exclamation mark. So the emphasis is here. I say to you again, if anyone preaches any other gospel, it's repeated, it's emphasized, it's an exclamation mark. To the Philippians, Paul writes, Philippians 3 verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern for many, not few, but it says many walk of whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. A perverted gospel is enmity against God. A gospel that leaves something out or adds something to is a perversion, and it is in enmity to the cross of Christ. And these who have gone out, these false ones, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in the shame, they set their mind on earthly things. There's a key there, isn't there? For our citizenship, the true believer, their citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. Possessions are not our all in all. He will transform our lowly body to be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to even subdue all things to Himself. So this gospel, this fleshly gospel, is in enmity to the cross of Jesus Christ. Those who preach a false word in Jesus' name will receive their just deserts, which is, according to this, damnation. Notice there in this text that, number one, their God is their belly. So they are fleshly. They are not regenerate. They have not crucified the flesh. They are not willing to die for their people, for their hearers. No, they are heaping to themselves people, and their mind is set on earthly things. And because their mind is set on earthly things, they preach an earthly message. 7 points, 7 ways to a better you. Your best Friday, whatever. Whatever. Flesh, flesh upon flesh. They are sapping spiritual life, and God's people are wandering around hungry and thirsty for truth, and God will fill those who are thirsting and hungering after righteousness. Beware of any enticing gospel, fleshly, that draws men in through gain. Preaching that gain is godliness, earthly gain, that's another gospel. Or preaching simply that Jesus came to give you a happy and a better life, that's another gospel. It's a deception. Beware of any gospel that is not heavenly. The early church, in the first 3 centuries of the church, friends, there was martyrdom upon martyrdom upon martyrdom. You've got to put yourself back there. There was persecution. There was stoning and shipwreck and beating and martyrdom. There were so many crucified in the first 3 centuries of the early church that we won't know until we get there and see them in glory. Friends, this gospel was not a gospel of earthly things. It was not set on the affections of this life. And beware of any gospel, and beware to not preach or to speak in Christ's name another gospel that pretends to give men a better life on this earth. Yes, there is life eternal. Yes, there is a heavenly home. And yes, Christ will never leave nor forsake us. And if we have Him, He is the joy of heaven. But to entice people through a gospel, to set their mind on earthly things, to set their mind on earthly things is not the true gospel. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's in heaven. Beware of any gospel that is not heavenly. Any gospel where the preacher, teacher, or the doctrine is man-centered and earthly, fleshly. Beware. You can't be saved through such a gospel. Paul exhorted Timothy by the right doctrine, that by that he will save himself and his hearers. 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Beware, Timothy. Beware. Because Paul himself has said, even if I or an angel came down from heaven and preached another gospel, let us be accursed. Let us be accursed. And he said, take heed, Timothy, to yourself and to the doctrine. To yourself, because first you need to walk aright before God. If you preach Christ, you need to live Christ. Don't open your mouth unless you're living it first. And preach the right doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those that hear you. It's the only saving gospel. The true gospel. Paul humbles himself and he suggests that even if he was capable of error, he was fallible while in this body of flesh. He said, even if I preach another gospel, let me be accursed. He also said, in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. So God, when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to the doctrine, the teaching of God and His plan of salvation, God plus something else is no longer good. God minus something else is no longer good. The gospel is pure. It's like a white refining fire. It purges. It's clear. Can you imagine a fire that is pure and clear as God is Himself, and there is no mistaking the true once you've experienced its power? Once you've experienced its power. But we need to know how to articulate it. We need to know how to preach it. We need to be absorbed in the Word and in the right study of the Word, in doctrine and in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, that our mind is illumined to the truth and that we live it out. That we live it out. So it's serious. It's serious. You cannot be saved through a false gospel. It's serious. So number one, Paul marvels. He talks of the perversion. Number two, he talks about the seriousness of the gospel, which is damning to both the preacher and the hearers. And number three, in verse 10, he talks about how the fear of man perverts the true gospel. There are many in the church who fear man. Fear man. We should not fear man, and we should not, as Paul says, we should not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. We should tell men in love. You know when their heart's ready, their soil is ready, or their ears are ready to hear. And you know when there's opportunity, when someone is confronting you with their doctrine of works, with their gospel of works, or with another gospel, you know it's time to speak up. Don't fear man. The fear of man is a perversion. Don't fear preaching the law as the tutor that brings men to Christ. It's always this pattern right through Scripture. Law to the proud, to the stiff-necked, to show them where they fall short, and grace to the humble and to the broken. Preaching grace to the humble, to the broken. This is near to our heart, friends. Don't fear man. Verse 10 says, do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. You know, our motivation for preaching the gospel. Yes, we love men. We want to see them saved. But the motivation for preaching the gospel is the glory of God. It's the glory of God. That's the only thing that will keep you going. It's the only thing that will keep you true. We seek to please God. We seek to please God. The enemy wants to come in like a flood. The only standard that can be raised against him is a true gospel preached without the fear of men. Without the fear of men. Jesus gave the law to the proud and self-righteous, and he gave grace to the contrite and broken in spirit. Jesus never condemned anyone who was humbled and brought low, who was crushed. He never condemned them. He offered his hand of grace. Yet at the same time, he never gave grace to the proud of heart. He always first brought the law to show them their sin, their pride, the abomination of their heart. We must prepare the way. We must prepare the way when we're dealing with people. I have people that I work with. I have people that I've shared with who, believe it or not, are still my friends. But I've called them wicked. And I've called them sinful. They have perverted. They have been sinners. And I've tried to draw them in with love. To be a true bondservant of Christ is to preach Christ to them. And those who have been hard of heart, stony ground, hard of hearts, God knows what purpose that message is for them in their heart. God is still doing a work by the preaching of the gospel. I should not shun to declare the whole counsel of God. I should not fear man. Late last year, I was sitting with a group of people, and among them was a woman who was trying to be very self-righteous in her heart. Very self-righteous. She had been baptized into this church or sect. She was almost spewing out her self-righteousness in opposition to the true gospel. And the only way I could contend against that was to show her her sin. She was wicked in heart. She was an adulteress. She was living in adultery at the time. And I told her plainly, "You're wicked. You're wicked. Your baptism into some church can't save you. You're wicked at heart. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. No man can be saved by their good works. No man can be saved by their good works. If I were to fear man, what message could I bring? God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. No, I would have done despite to the Spirit of grace." She was in her self-righteousness and in her pride and in her arrogance, spewing out this self-righteousness. It was wickedness. She had received a false gospel. She was not saved. She was not saved. This is the thing, friends. You deal with so many people on so many levels. And people have assurance in so many different things that they would be saved by them. But I believed I acted in love. I had care for her soul. I had care for her soul. Friends, do not fear man, nor what man can do to you. Do not fear those you work with, those in your place of study. Bring the word of truth. Bring the gospel of truth to them. Show them that they are sinners in need of a Savior. Prepare the way. Do not pervert the gospel. Oh God, help me. That is my prayer. Lord, give me grace to preach a message that's too wonderful for men's lips to utter. Give me the right word at the right time. The sensitivity to know when someone is crushed and broken and they need a word of grace. Remember what Jude said, "On some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." You've got to know. The gospel is one. We don't change it to suit men, but you've got to know what to preach and to whom to preach. On the broken, show compassion, grace to the contrite, but to the proud and self-righteous, save with fear. I knew I probably never would have a chance to speak to this woman again. Friends, there is such a cheap gospel. There is such a cheap gospel. Our Lord and Savior descended from the glory of heaven, came down and was spat upon and mocked and reviled by sinners. And everyone who does not believe the true gospel, according to the Bible, they are saying God is a liar. They shake their fist in God's face and say, God, you're a liar. How do we approach this generation? How do we approach this evil and perverse generation? The same way I was approached as a child. And by God's grace, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had rejected God. I knew I had spurned the law of God. We need the right doctrine. We need the right gospel, friends. I'm going to close. There are savage wolves out there today. Watch and be discerning. Watch and be discerning, friends. There is a perverse gospel. There is a pleasing of men in the flesh. We must know God, the true God of the Bible. I've preached from 1 John about knowing Him, knowing God. The key thing I want to draw out is keep God's word. Be true to it. Be persevering. Abide truly in Christ. Know the true God of the Bible. Go deep into the word. Go deep into good preaching. Let it influence you. Sit under the word and go out and obey the word. Know the true and living God. As with the $50 note, I need to know the true. I need to be familiar with the true. We're in dark days. There is much perverseness around us. But I believe God gives true grace to His children. He truly does. To counter this error, I choose to preach truth as illumined in the Word of God. But go, test for yourselves this word. Search it out. Search it out in truth. And be bold to preach the gospel. Be bold. Do not shun to declare. When you witness, you are confirming what you believe. When you open your mouth, you are affirming the gospel. And the truth is on your side. The truth, friend, is on your side. The Bible does the talking. Spurgeon said, you do not need to defend a lion. You just need to let it out of its cage. It will do its work. Let men see the truth. It's not a fleshly gospel. God uses the weak. God uses those things which seem foolishness to the world to confound the wise. Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, with a stuttering voice under a candlelight. And yet men were so gripped with fear they were holding onto the back of the pews, for they literally felt they were sinking into hell. He brought a word to the proud and stiff-necked, to the churchgoers who felt they were justified by their own goodness. And he preached Christ to them. Again, as we've said before, I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Cry aloud and spare not, the Bible says, and show my people their sins. Pride, self-righteousness of heart, arrogance, grievous sins. But if you today are broken and are contrite and are weak in yourself, know that it is God. He is that lion in the cage. The gospel, the truth of the gospel is like that lion. Let it out. Let it go forth if you know the true living God. And it will accomplish its work to whomever you're preaching it to. By preaching the gospel of truth, You declare openly that you know the truth and it has set you free. And it surely has power to set others free. It surely has power to set others free. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word and the truth of the gospel. Lord, we see the warnings here of a false gospel. I pray we would be discerning. I pray we would be as Timothy, that we would continue in the word and correctly divide the word of truth. And Lord, that we would search the scriptures as the Bereans to see if these things are so. Lord, I pray that we as your people would be bold. Yes, Lord, that we would not shun, that we would not stop ourselves from declaring the whole counsel of God. Oh, Lord, we want to be your true bond servants, Lord Jesus. We have been espoused to you, Lord. Help me, I pray. Give me opportunity this week. Give us all opportunities this week to continue to save some with fear and on others showing compassion, having a difference. Give us discernment, Lord. But I thank you for the one and true gospel which is able to save. Oh, Lord, teach us your way. Amen. Amen.